spot, we might as well. Like to welcome everyone out to our February 8th, 2022 CDRA regular meeting. We'll start off with a roll call.
Lynn?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Rocky?
Here.
Here. Okay, first item is approval of minutes of our January 11th, 2022 regular CDRA meeting held at 6 p.m.
I went through the minutes and didn't see anything that was out of order, so I'll have to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lynn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is invoice register dated 1-8 of 2022 to 2-2 of 22 in the amount of $18,716.48.
What's that CSP construction? Is that a tree trimmer?
No, that was the restrooms down to the arena. The footing for it.
Oh, the footing, oh yeah, I knew that. Okay. And that total bid, I think, all this meant was like $20,000.
$22,000.
Somewhere, yeah, okay.
We'll make a motion that we approve invoice register 1-8-2022 to 2-2-2022 in the amount of $18,716.48.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell and seconded by Sam to approve the invoice register dated 1-8 of 22 to 2-2 of 22 in the dollar amount of $18,716.48. Roll call.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, next is our executive director report.
RDA Ministry Committee met this morning, and what you see here, the first page of your packet, is the agenda of the reports that were given, and you can see it's a pretty significant number of committees. Under item number 4 this morning, a decision was made by the Main Street Committee to add Heidi Kelso and Molly Brotherson as being co-chair for city beautification. Now this is, they will tie in, of course, with the city beautification plan, but this is the role they'll play with the Main Street, National Main Street program, now that Utah's come back into the program. So on the second page, this is just a review of what we already have. This gives you the names, once again, of the people who head the various committees. And you'll see, of course, now there's an additional committee made up of Heidi and Molly, who will be over that particular area. Under number 5, you'll notice on the next page number 3, you'll see $109,000 that we have available to do work on Main Street. You'll see footnotes. Number 1, 41, that's the medical clinic, which will be Marta Hicks and Brooks Thompson. That will be a, we're going to have a medical clinic. That's the old Casey's Cafe building. Number 2, Ivory, right across the street where you have the gun shop and the old Erickson grocery store. That's going to be developed by the Ivory family, and they're going to have retail shops in there. And so you can see here what each of them are getting, and the three buildings combined receive $109,000. The third building is the Marriott Bed and Breakfast, and that's the old Nelson House down there. That's going to become a bed and breakfast, okay? So now you see on the bottom, $30,000. In addition to $109,000, we're going to get $30,000 through the State Main Street program, which will also be used when we analyze it to do some work on the facades of buildings on Main Street. You'll notice we asked for $163,325, as I mentioned in our last meeting. There wasn't that much money available, so we got $109,000. You'll see the building that's not going to be funded is 160 West Main. That is the Larry Barrett building. I got another pool of money to cover that. The reason that was left off is he did not have a good plan for the interior of the building, because we have no, because the current tenant in that building has paid her rent a year in advance, and there's no business in there.
Was that a thrift shop? Or was it a thrift shop?
For lack of a better term, yeah. It's kind of a storage place, and so we felt like that we should do is get a carrot out there and say, look, we got another pool of money to give you $26,000. When you come up with a plan for the interior of the building, I think that would probably make sense to you. So that was discussed this morning under the report from Roger Rover from State History. The next page, number four, is not nothing.
I got a question, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Is Mazel and Brooks, are they doctors?
Yeah, that's it. Brooks Thompson is a doctor. He was affiliated with
IAC. Dr. Thompson worked out.
Yeah, Brooks Thompson. And
his wife.
And Mark Rona Hicks is a midwife and has other skills, and so it'll be a kind of a clinic for Brooks and one for her midwife.
Okay, isn't his wife opening a herb shop in the front of it?
Herb and holistic. There'll be some holistic medicine stuff in coordination with that. Yeah. But it's a general term, it's a medical doctor.
Thompson.
Brooks Thompson, yeah. I don't think he's affiliated with IHC anymore. He's going into Pittsburgh.
No, he's on his own.
Yeah. The next page you have here, you see on the top it says paycheck number 290. This is a bill that the Heritage Area paid for $2,540 for a preliminary engineering study by Savage Associates for an EDA grant. We're going to EDA for a grant for $129,700 to be matched by $40,000 from the Heritage Area for phase one of design and engineering. Then we're going to go for another $400,000 to actually award the trail. This is part of the $2.1 million trail project from Mount Pleasant to Spring City that I've discussed with you many times. Now, this morning...
Have you come up with how we're going to maintain that trail?
Justin's working on that with Spring City and San Francisco County, and we're coming up with a plan so the burden won't fall on Mount Pleasant City.
And that's what I was wondering, what Spring City, what part of that Spring City had?
Well, it's going to be a joint project. The scoping needs have been held. It's a joint project. Chris Anderson's heavily involved in it. We hope to get some money from Zion's Bank as well. But it's going to be an entity will be set up to, and Justin will keep covering that in a minute under community development projects. So what we're going to do this morning, Justin, who's over community development, gave a good report this morning, and that's why I've included. This is part of a 10, this is where it says redeveloped zone on page 5 through 8 is a redevelopment summary about how RDAs are involved in both community and economic development. You'll see that on the Main Street Committee, Kevin Christensen, who's the county economic development director, is over economic development, and Justin has discussed in past meetings over community development, and he'll be giving the report in just a couple of seconds, the way he did this morning with the Main Street Committee. Now, if you'll go to the very back, page 9, you'll just see a summary of the latest projects that the Heritage Area is funding, because the Main Street Committee is an advisory board of the Mormon Heritage Area. And the last page is important for this reason. I'd like to request that the board consider scheduling a special meeting On the back page, you'll see an exchange I've had with Kevin Daniels about lots in the industrial park. We think there'll be a number of lots available. Some people, we've had a couple of calls of people wanting to know if we want to buy back the lots, because when they bought them, there weren't any impact fees. Now they find out there's a $12,000 impact fee. Some of them feel like they can't develop it. So what we need to do is have a special meeting. We haven't got enough time tonight. A special meeting to be set up. Only one item will be on the agenda. That's to talk about all the lots in the industrial park that are underdeveloped, the ones that we can take back. You'll see in this piece that I've given you here, the exchange I've had with Kevin, where I talk about the fact we've got about $1.3 million in EDA over the years, and we're currently applying for a $400,000 grant for the trails project. I talked to him about the fact, I say in here that when the deeds were conveyed for property in the industrial park, we have a covenant to construct improvements within a given time frame. Now read carefully this next part. This was put into the deeds to encourage development of the property because it was sold well below market value to meet EDA provisions to create jobs and enhance the property tax base. Next part is very important. We knew from the outset this provision was aspirational, and if challenged in court, it would probably not succeed in having the property conveyed back to the CDRDA at the price at which it was sold. Nevertheless, the covenant has been helpful in enabling us to have property conveyed back to us in a voluntary and amicable manner. We have never gone to court to have that covenant challenged. We think we're going to be able to bring back several lots, and we want a special meeting to talk about the lots that can come back, because we've got people on the list who are waiting on, you want an acre lot, and we're getting pretty close to being able to do that. We'd like you to be kind enough to schedule work for all you guys for a special meeting, and again, the only topic will be industrial park lots. Justin, will you report on to me in development?
Sure. This is a bit strange. And
do you want this seat?
Sure. this morning I reported on some of the things that we're working on that have been kind of ongoing for quite some time. The first one I'd like to give an update on is the park project. As you know, we submitted a grant application. It's been probably 18 months ago, I think, or so, to do new restrooms, to do sprinkling, new picnic tables, playground equipment at the park. The preliminary application was submitted then. The final application has now been submitted to state parks and in process. So once that's done, we'll go to National Park Service and get authorized, but it could still take some time. They're saying they're quite backlogged at the federal level on because of the change in administration, for one thing, and then the COVID has kind of stalled things out a little bit, too. So that said, things are moving ahead slow, but I think sure. We pretty much said it's not a matter of if but when we'll get the grant funds. There was a little bit of a hiccup with the boxcar hotel that we had to work through because of the perpetuity clause on the original grant that was done back in the 80s to do the early 80s to do the park. So we think we've mitigated that issue, and so we think we're on pretty good ground moving forward. It's not likely that it will happen this spring, but she anticipated probably contracts for fall. So I know it's been taking a long time, but it's really out of our control there. So just a quick breakdown of the project, the budget detailers. It's about $69,000 for geotechnical design, contract mobilization, and then the indirect costs that the federal government charges to administer the grant. The construction part of it was about $407,000 for restrooms, the site work, power system, and lighting upgrades was $150,000 of that, and Shane and I have talked a little bit about that. And then the irrigation sprinkling system was $65,000 we had in there. And I'd be happy to give you, leave you a copy of this, Mayor. I have, like, playground equipment was $60,000, and then new picnic tables, we had another $60,000 in there, which project total was $596,190. Of that, 50% will be grant, and then we can also use what our power crew does as in-kind contribution or anything our public works crew does as well. But we'll just have to, and that's kind of a, do it as you go. If it looks like we can use our crews at that time to do more than we can, and get credit for that. So really what we would be on the hook for at this time, with the power company doing their thing, we would be about $130,000 we need as our local contribution. And like I said, that can be through in-kind services, materials, local contribution, donations, whatever we can do to achieve that. Any questions on the park?
Are you continuing with that 10-year master plan, kind of like what we talked about, or?
Yeah. I haven't, I mean, we had a meeting. We
had that one meeting on it, yeah.
And we haven't done much with it since. It's probably time we pick that up again and start looking at, we had some concepts that we came up with that night, and it's probably worth looking at and
kind of good. Now we probably know a little more on the grant. Before, we wasn't even quite sure.
Yeah. And in our meeting this morning, there's a lot could be done out of that park, and this was just, you know, what we could see immediate need, the restrooms and the sprinklers and things like that. But you know, the more the project builds, the more match you have to come up with. So, that's the challenge. Is there's limitations of. With the 50% match, you got to be able to do that too. So.
Shane.
Hecklers, huh?
When you say restrooms, Justin, when you say restrooms, where are these restrooms?
Well, it would be one unit. There will be two.
Okay, his and hers are.
Yeah, say like a four-room restroom facility. So, I didn't include that or go there with this, but.
Okay. And then were we making all of them to be winter, or so we could keep open all winter, or would just part of
that's the plan, and whether or not that is the case, I guess, remains to be seen. It depends on if there's issues with vandalism and how we can curtail that, but they would be, and. I know there's some communities that have restrooms, and they have just a family, standalone family restroom, and they leave that one open all winter, just one unit, so people can use it, and then the rest of them, they close up. And that's an option. Just leave one of them open for multi-use. So,
will they let you in the grant now do either sex, or do they have to all be family restrooms?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
I'm just curious what it was doing. It seems like it's all switching.
It seems like you have to have one that's kind of all inclusive.
Yeah,
on the right terminology, but I haven't heard any criteria on that. So, anyway. It's just a lengthy process when you're working with the grants on the federal level. So that, we know that with our NRCS and other things we've been working on. So as far as the trail goes, we are making good progress there. And like Mont said, it would be a joint community effort with the county and Spring City. Maybe a little background of how this, I'm not taking too much time, but how this whole thing got started, this concept, is Spring City had a youth city council that wanted to build a trail from Spring City to Mount Pleasant. I don't know if you guys knew that that's how this got started. And so, I guess I volunteered a little bit as a council member before to help that project and see if there was something that we could do. We did get a first phase done, as you know, around the park. But this would be a joint effort with the county and Spring City. Maintenance, I think that we, there's nothing that says we have to maintain that trail during the winter time. If it is practical or feasible, we can. Maybe there's an organization or something that would want to do that. As far as the treatment on the trail, seal coats and things like that, there are grants available through the state parks RTP fund that we capitalize to get that done every 5 to 7 years. So, and then I think it would be wise to form a trails committee that would help accomplish some of those things and be on top of it. So. But that whole project is a bit of a house of cards, because if one of the funding agencies falls through, it's probably not likely that it will happen. So we don't want to get too far down the road of getting a committee and everything put together before we know if it's going to actually come to fruition. And so it's kind of a waiting game right now to see if the funding comes through. But I think there would be some benefit to have that connection between the two communities, not as far as economic benefit and community development. So, and if it's all grant and we can figure out how to maintain it, which other communities have been able to find a way to do, I think it would be a good thing.
You got the Economic Development Committee for the county behind it, and also the Travel Council. And we're joking about changing. Right now we call it the Heritage Trail, but we call it the Zion's Trail. Maybe we can tap into some
stuff. Yeah, there we go. While I'm up here, I just want to give you a quick, maybe this isn't the right meeting, but a quick update on the well. I have made contact with Stewardship Ranch, which is Bear Mountain Ranch, meeting with a gentleman by the name of Whit Hill tomorrow to talk about the land use agreements for that source protection zone around the well. And I've had contact with Todd Jorgensen as well to start those discussions, to get that those land use agreements taken care of so we can start drilling and developing well. So, I'll let you know how that goes.
Good. Hopefully it'll go good.
Well, I guess the alternative is if they don't want to sign it, then we reduce the, you know, maybe we have to go down deeper and not take the water that's closer to the surface and shrink that source protection zone. I hate to do that, because I think there's a production zone that's yielding pretty good water in that top couple hundred feet. So. Anyway. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Mayor. Anything else, Mont?
Just for the next item on the agenda.
Okay, next item.
Real quick, first, Mayor, I just want to kind of bring up, so Jeannie, I'm guessing these other buildings, as they change owners and not have to be building permits, correct? Like on the medical clinics and all those?
They have to get a new business license.
Right. So I just want to bring it.
Fire inspection too?
No, what I want to do is make sure they're upfront that they know that anytime it changes ownership or changes usage, it has to be brought to the most current fire code for that building, what their use is. So, and those are not cities, those are federal and state. I mean,
Can you talk about the buildings that we're doing here?
Yeah, any of
them. Everyone up there has been told, Roger and I met and told them when they change that use, you go through that very process.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make sure, because I know like when Casey's switched owners, see they had Casey's was kind of grandfathered, but when Cindy bought it, they had to upgrade their whole kit, their whole lift system and everything, and so they kind of got stopped.
It was like when we converted the over to the apartments in the Wasatch Block.
Yeah, so yeah. I just wanted them to kind of give that as a, make sure they know about it.
They've all been told that when we talk about the grants.
Because we had another that come before planning and zoning last month wanting to split a building there too, and that's what we was trying to think how that worked out. We told her we needed a better floor plan or something, because it was like, so that's something we need to bring up today probably more than anything.
Okay.
In fact, Mary had a question about, I think this has been, we see one, they had a bed and breakfast in that prior to that, though, I think.
Yeah, in reality, it doesn't matter, because as long as, even if it changes ownership, then they still make them bring it to current code. So it is kind of...
He knows that, but he told them it was some cop duty because it happened in a B&B.
Well, B&Bs are not quite the same as a motel, so they don't have as strict, like, have to have all filter systems and the whole nine yards and everything, so they are, they do have their own category, so...
Okay.
Okay. Proposal, land purchase in the industrial part, Mike Bowles.
They say a picture's worth a thousand words. We'll start with the picture. I had to break out the bait print for this because of the uniqueness of the area. I don't know if this table was gonna be adequate, you guys wanna tell me, I know. You guys wanna come down here and take a look at it? So I don't, when we drew this up, so after Paul, he came out and met with us right here, and then we quickly threw a tape on it, and so we, this is a rough guess for the total acreage. I can, Vern, you wanna take a look at it, right? So there's 0.75, this piece here is 4.7. This is gonna be pretty close, but it's a, until we get information out of Ludlow. This here is close to 2.5. And so what I'm proposing, I think most of you know my current operation out there. I have a building that sits over here, and most of my operation is right here. I own two of the acre lots right here. And I would like to sell the building I'm in. And the advantage of doing that is I no longer will have to move my product down the road with my telehandlers. The time it takes, the fuel, the wear and tear on the machines and the road. And this allows me to come in and I can put a building here. And my other lot here, I can build a bigger building. But I can come in here, run my semis, either down 89, and you come in over here, and the road is still running me, or I can come down Blackhawk and then drop down by Rocky Mountain and then pull off the side, and I can start storing my product here, and there's enough room that I can pull a semi in, take the product and load it, and alleviate parking on the semis on the old runway. And so the other problem I've got that we're running into is, I'm sure all of you are aware of the, I usually keep quite a bit of lumber on hand. And I'm running out of room to store lumber. The advantage to the city, you see, I've got most of that lumber, when I say most, we're talking 99.9%. This is the houses we do around here, which is minimal compared to what most of that lumber ends up in projects and Salt Lake. Well, when I order that lumber, the way it works is when I buy it from my wholesalers, I got to give them an address. That address tells them what tax rate I'm paying, therefore who's the benefits from that tax. If I run out of room here, see, it's convenient for me because logistically I can control my lumber. Up north, you got theft, you got, it's just here I can control my waste. And the advantage up there is I don't have to truck it. So if I run out of room here, then it delivers to the site. It's that tax base that gets it. So Salt Lake City, West Valley, or I can go on and on with all the projects. And so then obviously that tax is currently, I can't tell you, you guys probably got your finger on the pulse of that and what the tax revenue currently is being realized. But by opening this up, it allows me to store more lumber here, and I can build the buildings I need to. And so that's what I'm proposing. And what we did, I got with Burns, I know he's looking for a place to build. And so rather than take this, which was previously was unbuildable because it was Air Force status, right? It was a buffer zone, you couldn't build there. And so rather than the city sitting down or the RDA and dividing it up, because this is kind of an awkward lot. It's not very deep. And it works well for me, and it works well for Vern wants. See, if we do it collectively, if I buy the whole thing, and then I turn around, the same price I paid per acre, I sell whatever Vern needs. I also am currently building a house in Spring City for the Cottrells. Now, let me give you a little background on the Cottrells. Is they own a machine shop up in, and it's in Bountiful. They decided to get out of Dodge, and they're going to join us down here. They put their building up for sale, not the business, but the building, thinking they roll the dice and think it'd take a few months to sell. Well, it sold in a few days for a lot more than they wanted. Now they're in a proverbial rock and hard place with the 1031 exchange. They've now got, I'm sure most of you understand that, the tax consequence that they have to, they had to engage in, so they have a time frame. They, because I'm already building a house for them, they were asking me if I knew of any buildings, and I said, hey, this may work for you. And they asked for about that acreage. They want more, actually, but I need what I need. So they are ready right now. In fact, when I leave here, they've started calling the office twice today. Hey, you know something yet? Because they are ready to come down, pull the trigger, and build. This is going to be close to $1 million building that's sitting here, and that one's a 40 by 320. I got 50 by 300, and then Burns over there. And so that's what I'm proposing.
And Mike, let's one thing. Because our company, Vern, we're going to be having that special meeting. But also, I was hoping maybe I'd listen to these gentlemen, I'm glad they're here. I'd like you try to like discuss with you, if you're a developer, you could accommodate some of these people who need smaller lots. I'd like to meet with them as well. We'll follow on this, okay?
So, my one question, Mark, maybe you or whoever. I know in the past we had an issue with, we sold a building for very, very cheap. They turned around and sold that building for five times base dollar. Now, not saying that's what you do, but isn't there something that we did put in place that there prohibits that you can't sell, say,
there
is
the problem? Yeah, we've only had, you can't, the only problem we've had is there's one case where the airport hangar is.
Well,
we had that 1.7 acres, and frankly, we were the buyer was misrepresented. That's the only one that's through the cracks. And like I said, it's pretty hard. We haven't had any case where we've not been able to get it back voluntarily, but we have covenants in there that say that the EDA asks us to, the attorneys for EDA has put them in there going back to 1998. You've got to have a business presence within a year, unless you get a waiver, a full-fledged business in 2 years, and you can't sell the raw land. You have to let us buy it back for what you paid for it. That covenant will have to be there.
And that's why I said what I did. You see, I know that's the first thing I would ask, is wait a minute, you want to buy it all, I'm going to turn around, sell it to others and make it. That I do not want to do. In fact, it's restricted like Mont articulated. So the advantage is if I can pick it all up, I have the players in place where we can accommodate and come back and say, hey, can we create a legal description that becomes us all a lot? And in doing so, the whatever we paid per acre, then I turn that back in, prorate it, and then you sell it back to Vern. But we're able to engage now, and I told him in this scenario, I'll design this building at no cost, just help him out.
Well, I got another acre lot in mind for Garrett, but I'd like to, if that doesn't work out, I'd like you to accommodate him as well, like you do with Vern.
Right, so here's the fly in the ointment, if you will. To accomplish what I'm looking for, I can see maybe peeling off, so that represents 0.75. So let's just say right about there, another one. But eventually, if we start taking too much, then it doesn't accommodate what I need. Again, I'm looking, and I think it's an advantage to the city for me to get away from that other building and have to wear and tear it to get down here. And if I can, more lumber I can put down at this address, the taxes are going to be higher.
Put it on Blackhawk.
So the answer is yes. But I,
and we have a lot of people say, hey, the sooner he can move to the back, the better.
Sure. If I was my neighbors, I'd say the same thing.
Okay. Mike, let me ask you. Here where old King building is?
Right. That's Stewart. Nate Stewart.
Did you approach those guys to see if they'd settle?
I did. That's the first thing I thought. Because there's a lot of unused land there. But I don't know the evolution now with the time. I mean, Dave and I get along real well. I consider him a friend. He says he's expanding and he wants to build a a bigger building.
He did tell me 2 weeks ago, and he's got a buyer for that, he wants to move out that 5 acres he has.
Right, so he's trying to gobble up what he can.
He owns 5 acres in there.
And to be honest, I mean, I'll be straight forward. If I did, I would then want to buy the backside of his, but I'm like, wait, I want to do it, I want it. So I am trying to get this taken care of too. Obviously, I'm looking out for my needs before his, but.
This piece down here is, does that road go up, right?
Yes, yeah, that is.
So it goes all the way down to that.
Where's the road here? Over there.
Oh, it's down here.
The turnaround.
Where's the highway? If this continues, it comes back on the 89.
Yeah.
So right here is where that new road, that new road they put in here, to Blackhawk. The old runway continues out, we have the old tax turnaround, but it comes out and dumps back on the 89.
Oh, not bad, man.
Oh, you're talking about the field replacement.
So where's your lots now?
My lots, I own that piece.
What, if you put up a 3.8 acres, you own?
My lot is right here. And.
That's where you're on to that current.
I'm a, it's kind of like a game of risk, right? Dave Campbell's a good enough guy, I'm taking over his land, I tried to buy it out from him as well, on the backside, and he wants to keep hold of it. So he's letting me, so I got, right now, I've got lumber put out here. That's why I say, if someday he decides to do something with it, then I gotta start taking delivery up north.
That's why you want this combination, you have that, your end, you have lumber here?
Yes.
Which gives us tax revenue.
Yeah. This is where the machine shop's going in.
That'd be the machine shop.
Oh, that's what I was gonna ask, yeah.
Yeah, we're attached to it, we are.
From anybody there.
How far down here is that? Let's see, this is, Marvel's, and then this is, Gary's. Right here. That would have to be the start point, because this is Gary's. And then he sold that bottom part to somebody, and they got some stuff stacked there. Did that?
There's two lots that went through around.
Did that buffer zone down below Gary, did that buffer zone get sold to that bottom half of that lot?
You tell by, you were across from Lucky Mountain?
No. So Gary, what's his name? Almost.
Yeah.
His building's here, but he had this.
Yeah, this back part, he got the 1.6 acre, that back part sold.
Right, but down here, it's where the buffer zone.
That's what it is.
That has been sold or hasn't?
Hasn't, but they got. How far did you measure down there, Red Mike?
So there's A.W. Carter right there, which is, I believe, is this one. So that represents it right there. This is the lot that goes all the way.
Yeah, this is my only problem with this one. This lot's been sold.
It'd be landlocked.
It's been split, yeah, this guy would be landlocked if we sold it.
He doesn't have a right way to get down there anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
So how does he get the lot sold first?
I don't know.
Well, he went to planning commission, that's, they haven't got time to go there tonight. It goes clear back with his problem with Victor Means and all that, we'll discuss it.
That would be my.
If it solves the problem, then we just slide it so you can, sell him that, and that takes care of the landlocked.
We still gotta get with Gary to clean some of this stuff, because he has landlocked there. I go back to all that stuff between Victor and Dave Christopher. Geez, for this.
Third kilometer.
So my proposal is, once you identify what the acreage is, and if you want to still pop that, regardless of what you end up doing, because you have at least that ability, and we slide it. And Ludlow sits here is the size, and then I pay to buy it, and then we engage and get Vern taken care of, and we can get the Cottrells, get that machine shop down here.
I think the setbacks is gonna have to go back just a little bit further.
This was just throwing it on there, I don't...
This is guesses in here.
Yeah, mine, I need as far back as I can get.
We got roughly 100 feet from the edge of the oil back to the fence line, and his building's gonna be 50 feet wide, so it would be set back.
Yeah, like, that's why I show there, whatever I can get.
We gotta have room, we gotta have a right way to...
Right, thanks for bringing that up.
And sewer.
I'm gonna run an irrigation line through there too, is the plan.
Yeah, I don't see that issue at all.
I wouldn't want to hold much up, but it'd be nice to see where we need to be for footage for that first, before we make any decisions. Just so we have a solid number of what we need to get into that access to that property.
Yeah.
Is it, you know what I mean?
Accessing what?
Into that landlocked property.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, it's like Mike said, they're just adjusting the acreage there, so that's...
I wish we could put more Little Earth business in there, though.
I don't think it would work, I really don't. I think we've got plenty of room somewhere else to put smaller businesses.
Well, it'd be more land, that way it's right on the road, you could do a lot of small little shops all the way down that whole runway.
Well, I'm gonna make a proposal that we approve this sale to Mike Bolts.
I don't know if we can, we don't have a dollar amount or anything else. We gotta get Kevin on the phone, because I don't think it's legal to sell without a dollar amount and everything else.
Based on the acreage that Ludlow comes up with.
He could make a proposal contingent upon, he could make a proposal, as he talked to us before, $13,000 an acre, contingent upon the clauses, and there he's gotta develop it, and he's gonna invest about $1.5 million on the land. He can make a proposal on that, and you can make a decision relative to a proposal to purchase the whole piece based upon the acreage developed. I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to have it for tonight, but you could make a decision based upon the, on the proposal, $13,000 an acre, I think that's what you're about.
Yeah, whatever we pay for the others.
We can't sell them for the same price, though, because we took it in the shorts on the gas line and everything else that had to go in, we had to repay for.
Well, what I'm saying is...
And we can't, I know dang well our power's gone up, our water line, everything else that we're gonna be putting in there, has gone up an awful lot, too.
Well, he'd have to, and of course, all the impact fees would apply, and all the connection fees, the impacts would apply. Would you be prepared to make a proposal of, well, I should ask you, what would you propose? Instead, you're gonna make a proposal, what do you propose to purchase that for, once the acreage has been established, it's supposed to have been done by tonight, by Ludlow Engineering, what are you proposing to pay?
What, you remember what you sold the acre lots for?
We sold them for $13,000 an acre, but when we talked to Paul about it, would be $13,000 an acre, plus you would absorb any extra costs, or the development costs, plus all impact fees and all connection fees.
Yeah, that'd be the proposal.
Okay. Let me give you just an idea of what that water line, to extend that water line from, what's that road that comes down past the old hangar? Yeah. Anyway, from there out to where the road turns up to that new road, it's about 4,200 feet, and pipe, just to buy the 8-inch PVC is $25 a foot right now. So $25 a foot times 4,000 feet. Who's got a calculator? I mean, it's not cheap.
No, nothing is now.
No. And then...
25 times what?
About 4,200.
It is, $105,000 just for the pipe.
That's just for the pipe, yeah. And then you'd... And then we need fire hydrants, they're about $2,000 a piece now, $2,500 maybe, so... Probably need four, at least four of those.
Mike, when you talk to, at least it's Paul told me, you'll absorb all development costs, the hydrants and all that stuff in it.
Oh, we hadn't talked about that. So tell me what you would do if you go, let's say I wasn't in here and you decided to take that buffer zone and turn it into lots and then sell it to the likes of Vern and those who've been waiting. But yet they didn't get the same, the way that you sold them on the same terms as everything else. You didn't ask for improvement costs, that was RDA.
I understand that, and I don't know...
I can't hear you, Paul.
I don't know how those lots were sold up on Blackhawk Boulevard. Did they absorb the... Up on Blackhawk Boulevard when that was...
This is the, we started developing this project in 1998.
Yeah.
EDA's put up $1.3 million into infrastructure. What happened when Dan was the mayor, we were selling those lots, as you put it out accurately, based upon less than market value, but they had to have covenants, so we had to actually have beneficiaries. Every one of those lots that were sold in phases one and two, and also phase four, we had, the only thing that's different is the phase that goes along 1,000 South. We had to show beneficiaries. So if I were to call EDA tomorrow, they would say, "Who's the beneficiary?" And he would have to come forward and sign a document based upon the partnership of these guys and these guys, that he would be the developer of that, and that he would assume the development costs, 13,000 acre development cost, and he would have a business presence on all those lots within a year and develop the whole thing within 2 years. Because the reason the EDA does it is to create jobs and increase the tax base. And I think you're aware of that, aren't you?
Yes.
In previous discussions.
Is this something that has to be decided tonight, or can it be thought about and brought to the special meeting that you're wanting to do?
That's up to...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know Mike's on the timeframe with this machine shop. Them guys have got to be moving it. Now, that's a business that's going to be here. Vern's another business that's going to be there. And we're looking at prospective businesses down the road. Maybe we'll get some small shops in there, maybe we won't. I don't know, I just...
To answer her question, the way this works is this. In the past, when we sold the lots, in phase one, they were different sizes. Phase two, they were different sizes. And what would happen, the board didn't make a decision on some... The board sets a policy, and the executive director sold the lots. This is different, because this is a buffer, this was not subdivided. This is a different proposal, which is why it comes to the board. So the board has to make a decision. That's not my decision. My decision will be to contact EDA and see if we can get some assistance on some of these development costs. It's going to be a pretty expensive process. This would be a public-private partnership. The decision, I think, is in your hands, in a sense. It says proposal, because as I understand it, and this is what I was told by Bo and Paul, I guess you and Bo do exercises together, is that this is a 1031 exchange, and this guy can't wait much longer. Is that true?
That is true, yeah. So the question I got is, all of the lots, again, the existing lots on the 1 acre on the west side, what's the, businesses exist there now, buildings are going up, is there water on that side?
Yeah.
Does it come from the back?
Yeah.
Is that what it does?
Water and sewer comes clear down by the back face.
Okay, so if you did, if this particular land we're talking about, if it just remained the way that it is, let's say I bought it and didn't put a building on it, but I bought it for storage purposes, then there is no... My point is, the only reason why you'd be putting water down there is because if I bought it, or otherwise, would you still be putting water?
No, we need some fire protection.
Yeah, we need high...
There's my point, if you're doing your...
Yeah.
So what, it's already going to happen, so...
We're asking EDA for a little bit of money to do that easement for the water line. But in my discussions with them, it is that you, other than that, you would pay the proposal $13,000 acre plus the development cost like any other land you develop, correct?
Okay. We did, I'd have to sit down, put that to pencil with it, but development cost is... Again, it's, I could just as easily, I could build the building on the two lots I already have on that west side, because the primary purpose is to expand my storage area.
Exactly.
And so at that point, I don't, it would make more sense to me to put the building over there and use the storage area where I could just park them for the semis. I don't need to approve it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so unless there was a partnership that the city and I, we came together and said, hey, this is what we'd like to do, so we could open it up for Vern and this other company coming in.
Well, maybe I don't have all the information, because I understand that the proposal was going to be, you're going to merge as a developer. We were going to get the data from Ludlow, get the development costs, and then see if we can make a private-public partnership so we can get maybe a couple million dollars invested on the property. Do I misunderstand that?
Yeah, we didn't have that discussion. However, if we did, now, we talked earlier about the rules and can you buy the property and then turn to sell the property. If I go in there as a developer, boy, at that point in time, it only makes sense that I get to split it up and I then mark it up wherever I want and I sell it, right?
Well, you can. The idiot, when we first got this legal thing, once you develop the property, you can't speculate on raw land.
Exactly.
Once you develop the property, you sell it for market value.
Exactly. So as long as that's understood.
Well, you had to have the business for 2 years also.
Yeah, well, if you can't...
You had to have the building and you had to have your business for 2 years before you could sell it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. You pointed out earlier, the lots that exist there, they come underneath everything we're talking about. See, it's a little bit convoluted, if I understand it correctly, because this was never a lot, therefore it was never part of the RDA. That's why you...
That's why it's before. This is an outlier.
Exactly.
That's why it's here.
Right.
This is not like selling a one-acre lot in Phase 5.
Right.
We've never held an RDA board meeting to discuss selling those acre lots in Phase 5.
So this is a different animal then. So now it's the property the city owns. If I go in there and buy it as a developer, then it's either I do that or it is part of the RDA. It's I don't see how it's a hybrid and it's a mixture of both. It's either one or the other, isn't it?
Well, except for the fact that when the numbers are put together, if they're developed, in other words, in the other phases, that's where the money went from the different $250,000 grants, is we take EDA and we put the infrastructure in.
Right.
And then the reason we're going to have this special meeting is that too many people have been sitting on the property and not developing it. So we're going to work to bring back some of these lots.
Right.
Now, this is an outlier because this was never subdivided as part of the industrial park.
That was my point.
Yeah.
So it's not recognized as part of a lot that falls underneath all the conditions that dictate how those lots are sold.
That is correct.
Right? And so we're dealing with a completely different animal. See, my approach was, hey, turn this into a lot, and then it falls under the same conditions that everything, all the other lots are subject to. But if we're not talking about that, then I can go. Then the proposal is different. I would buy it, and then I buy it as a developer, and then you no longer put the water in. I put the water in. But at that point in time, it's completely separate from what governs the RDA.
And I agree with you, because the city, when we developed all that other, the city was the developer on the rest of that. So the city had the right to go in there and put the infrastructure in, the water, the sewer, and we could charge what we charge. But as him as a developer, if he's going to go in there and put $150,000 into this, he sure should be able to recoup that.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. I definitely want to recoup it, but I'd say...
That's plan B. Rephrase exactly. What are you looking for specifically? What are you looking for?
I agree. I think it does.
Because in light of this, I think it does too. It needs to be revisited.
It needs to be revisited.
And I just got to figure out how what I can do to help these... at the end of the day, it's not my business, but my heart wants to help these guys out, separate from what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And just to give up, it's 9 hydrants that we need out there for, that's $18,000 roughly.
That's what?
9 hydrants you need across there.
9.
What I think we should do,
because
we haven't got it, I think we should get, would you agree with this? And you two, you've been talking to him, you have, Paul. I think we should get the information back from Ludlow, determine the development costs, and then sit down, because we got two people, we've got another acre lot in mind for you, but let's say hypothetically, you're going to step in and do this. This is something we haven't talked about.
So could this other company jump onto this 1 acre lot that could possibly come back?
I would, if that's all they're left, that's all the option I got. I think the beggars got the choosers, right? So.
Well, is he run out of time on the exchange? Couldn't he wait until we get some more data from Ludlow, and then we sit down with their special project? He puts on his hat over special projects. We sit down and find out.
He could vote on it if he's doing special projects. Huh? That's a conflict of interest. That's where we got to watch it.
With Paul?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He can't be on special projects down there anymore?
He can't be voting on it and making the motion.
Oh, no, he can't vote, but he can work on it during the day, right? He can't vote.
He can't vote.
The other thing that kind of, if you're saying what I'm kind of understanding, what you're saying is if it's not industrial park property and RDA property, it's city property, and that's a huge chunk of land.
It's in the RDA, but it hasn't been subdivided by the RDA.
But is it classified as city property at that point?
It's redevelopment agency property. That's why I handed out that. It's redevelopment.
Yeah, but which way would that be? He's on the phone now. Do you know?
So repeat that. I couldn't hear that one individual talking very well.
So the strip east of the runway has never been put into the RDA. It's still in Mount Pleasant City.
That's not accurate. It's in the boundaries of the redevelopment agency. But it hasn't been subdivided like the other phases have. And that's why it had to come before the whole board. In the past, on the other phases, we've done the infrastructure with EDA grants, except for phase five, and that was sold for $13,000. We raised the money to do that. This is a strip that's an outlier, but it is in the redevelopment agency. What we haven't got in front of us right now is the data from Ludlow Engineer. Ludlow Engineering did all the engineering down there on the subdivisions that we've recorded. This strip as a buffer has not yet been subdivided, and that's why it has to be discussed before the board, because we can't implement it and sell it because it hasn't been subdivided. It's what Mike, Bull and Paul and Mike were talking about, is that since it's a buffer, is there some way that Mike can move in, pick that up, and move his operations to the back so he's not cluttering up Blackhawk, and then figure out some way to develop it.
And whose name is it currently?
It's in the name of the redevelopment agency.
So, but not in the city's name, it's in the RDA's name?
Well, you know, technically, here's where it gets a little bit complicated. Because the redevelopment agency under law is different from the city. However, they are partners, and what's happened, when these lots are recorded, and you go, for example, when a lot is sold and it's recorded, it says Mount Pleasant City, it doesn't say Mount Pleasant CDRA.
It depends, because there's lots down there that says the RDA.
Yeah, exactly. But in terms
of... That's what I'm asking, so is this just in the city's neighbors in the CDRA?
Right now, this is in the project area that we use tax increment financing on, and is in the redevelopment agency boundaries for which we used EDA money to develop, but this is an undeveloped piece in the RDA.
But it is in the city's name, right?
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
Kevin, I need to talk to you about that because that's kind of clouded, because I'm going to talk to Adam. Adam Long was the attorney on the tax increment, and this buffer zone is a little bit gray as to whether it's in the redevelopment project area that we used tax increment on to move forward. And so I'll get you a clear answer after talking to Adam Long tomorrow, okay?
Okay. So, in light of...
You know Adam, don't you? Huh?
My recommendation would be to table this part as well until we get a determination.
Yeah, we'll get a determination from Adam in the RDA area. I'll get you the maps. Then more importantly, we'll get some definitive information from Ludlow on how many acres are involved, Kevin.
Perfect.
Okay.
Good enough. We're one step closer.
Yeah. And you can get him to hold off longer, can't you?
I think what we're dealing with is there, they've never dealt with this, and they're a little antsy, I can understandably so. But I think if they get with the tax attorney, there's ways that you can, I...
Ed Christensen, I don't think so.
It is what it is, and we'll tell them it's a...
Kendall's?
That it's moving, but not as quickly as they like.
Mr. Chairman, since I've already requested a special meeting to talk about the industrial park, it seems like this would be the number one item on that agenda. We ought to set that up as soon as we can, especially just to talk about the industrial park.
Okay. Table it and go to a date when we can talk.
Well, how quick we're gonna do it, that's the thing.
Yeah. Kevin, I'll talk to Adam from Snow Christian Martin. I'll talk to him tomorrow, and I'll give you a call, Kevin.
Perfect, sounds good.
So, Mark, I'd ask you, how quick can we have this special meeting? How quick can we set it up?
We'd have to get all this information we're talking about.
Well, tomorrow I will get with Mike.
And Ludlow.
And Ludlow, to get exactly what we're doing. Because again, like I say, if this were just like another phase of the industrial park or East Media, this would be a no-brainer. This is kind of an outlier, because it's sitting out there, never been subdivided, no improvements ever been made, and we don't even know what the development costs are gonna be on it, which is why if it's gonna be a private-public partnership, with you as a developer, is a little bit different route than you've talked about in the past.
It would be, yeah.
Quite a bit different.
I have to be given 24 hours to notify people of the meeting, so...
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, we can set a day. That's what, I guess we'll wait and let Mark, you know, maybe...
I'll call Ludlow first thing in the morning, I'll talk to Adam Long, and get with Kevin Daniels, and then, if you'd like to do so, then I can call Jeannie, and she can tell the chairman, how long it'll take to get that in, you can set it based upon being the information. No sense of meeting until we got the hard data.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. So these are the lots now that we're proposing to buy back, that you're working on buying back?
What we have to decide is waivers have been given on not developing, and some of these people now have come forward. We just need to go, to find out who's gonna develop and who's not gonna be able to develop, and then buy the lots back.
Then we buy them back at $13,000.
We buy back, here, we bought four or five back, here's how we've done it. We bought them back for the price they paid, plus any documentation they have for property taxes or any other improvements they've made on it.
Okay, and then we're gonna turn around, we're gonna sell them for more than we sold them before for?
Then the board will sit down and decide what they think would be a fair price to sell them for.
I've got 9 lots here now that's not being developed.
Down there's what, there's 2 or 3 out there, just a building lot, doing nothing.
The one thing I do have to know, though, is what is the relationship, because when they did the, I happened to write, we did a job description for special projects when Dan was mayor, and he was hired, and one of his main assignments was the industrial park, and he coordinated that with you on the council, remember? Now the question I have is when he's doing that to, okay, when he's here as a council member voting on it, I was in the meeting where Kevin held that workshop with you, but as I understand it, from 9 to 5, he's over special projects. When he meets here as a council member, he's on the payroll of public works, correct? And so he's still the person I work with, he's the director of the RDA, I work with him in his special projects capacity from 9 to 5, is that correct?
We really haven't done anything with the special projects lately at all.
No, we haven't lately.
We haven't done anything lately at all.
The last
so I don't even tell you.
Power company.
I think it needs to run through Coulter and Shane probably more than anything, because other ones would be putting in the, be on more of the utilities and things like that there.
So, that's not none of my business, so I know. So in other words, we no longer have a public works person in Paul who's over special projects. In other words, he would not be assigned to the industrial park anymore over special projects.
No.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I would just say that as soon as you get that information, just let us, I think, just get it by whoever, as soon as we get it posted. Yeah. Let us know when we can do a meeting, I think.
Gone for the next week.
You know, so. But I mean, other than that, I think it's kind of tied up as where it is.
Okay, I'll go with Ludlow first thing in the morning.
Okay. Anything else, Kevin?
No, but I'm just pulling into town for the office stuff, so.
Okay, see you in a few then.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, bye.
As I'll look at my calendar real quick.
I'm out of town next week.
Yeah, I am too.
Schedule wise, what does it look like for set a date? I'd sooner set the date now and get it out in the public.
Is there any possibility that we could have this by the end of this week?
I don't know what's taken Daryl Penrod so long already, so I talked to him a couple of days. You tried to call him today, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess it all depends on Ludlow, but with your information, I guess, really.
Yeah, we still got 3 days in this week. If we can get it Friday.
I'm done.
As long as you got enough time to do your 24-hour public notice.
Yeah, well, that's what I say. We still have 3 days. We found out tomorrow. She, I mean, 24-hour public notice out tomorrow. We'd be good to go, but Mike's not going to be here Friday.
Yeah.
We got a basketball game
on Thursday. Yeah. What about? Let's go the following week. Wait for Monday's back.
I say, what about
take it out to
the council meeting? Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I was hoping for next council.
Yeah. I just.
Yeah. So the next council meeting is on the 22nd, which is 2 weeks today.
Yeah. If everybody's gone next week, I don't know what.
Yeah. Is it Monday or that Tuesday? Yeah.
I think that's about our next best case.
We do have a, we have to have another public hearing on the CIB grant. It's scheduled on the 22nd at 6 p.m.
So what date looks good?
Well, if we come in on that 22nd, I could probably come around 5. I mean, an hour before that.
How long will it take us to
work? If you've got all the paperwork, it should be, I mean, it should be fairly cut and dried, right?
Well, yeah, I can't see why it takes so long. Ludlow's been surveying that place since 1998, so, you know.
I mean, in reality, if all of our data's there and all your black and white, it really shouldn't be.
And then we'll get
the. So you're proposing we come in on the 22nd early?
Be like, well, if they've got a public hearing at 6, I'd just get coming in at 5.
6.
Because, I mean, you get a come in anyway, so if we're going to be here, that was another hour earlier.
Yeah.
Should we set it for the 22nd at 5 then?
Unless you want that 4:30, Monday, but
4:30 gives a.
How early did you get up, Rondi?
I can be up by 4:30.
What about you, Sam?
I usually don't be home till sometimes a little after 4:30, so it just depends. I might be a little bit late if I have to be.
Will that work? 22nd work for you?
Yeah, I can make work.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
If I need.
I'll do it.
22nd. What time are we setting?
I think we can give ourselves an hour and a half. Let's go 4:30. If we don't use it, we can sit there and discuss something else while we're hanging out.
Okay. So basically we're...
Gary, what size building are you proposing out there?
I don't have exact dimensions. It's kind of depending on whether it's lost half acre or full acre or quarter.
But you are going to throw a business up, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw two.
And you're doing... So there's two, and the Burns three, and your friends four, and you're five out of that acreage we got out there. That's pretty good. We can make it work.
Out of curiosity, how many of those acre lots you think will be coming back?
Well, we've got two or three that I know of that are looking into it because they hadn't planned on paying. It's their fault. They didn't move quickly.
Are any of them happen to be back-to-back?
Pardon?
Any of those? Two or three?
I know two that are back to back.
Because that, I know this this business with the Cottrells that I spoke to, that would work well for them.
I got different perspectives tonight by hearing, because I have not had all these details, but it seems to me I'm looking a different route. I'm thinking of placing a call to EDA and getting with Kevin Economic Development and Justin Community Development. It appears to me that we ought to put together, I'm just saying something, a private-public partnership, work to develop, bring these guys in rather than what I had in mind, make me figure out a master plan to develop that with you as a developer. But if we do that, my only concern is, how do we solve the problem of moving your stuff back there if we develop all the lots?
Right.
I can talk to you about that.
All right, let's table it, then everybody in agreement, February 22nd, 4:30.
Yeah.
That'll work for me.
Okay.
Somebody want to make the motion, we adjourn this one?
I'll make a motion.
Sam makes the motion. Somebody second it?
Second.
Russell seconds it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.